Psalm 45. My heart is thinking about a good matter. I speak of the things which concern the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than all the children of men. Grace is poured into your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Put your sword on your thigh, O most mighty, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously in truth and meekness and righteousness. And your right hand will teach terrible things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people will fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a true scepter. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Well, it seems, as we'll see later in this psalm, that this is David's thoughts about Solomon's marriage to a Gentile woman, to a woman who was not of Israel. And David is very enthusiastic about his son, about how wonderful he is, and he talks very exaltedly about him. Your throne, O God, will be forever and ever. Well, that was David's hope, that the son that he'd promised who would have an eternal kingdom would be Solomon. But in fact, that is not actually how it worked out, because Solomon turned away in the end. And David is very proud, shall we say, about his son. He's very sure his son is wonderful. And I wondered if that sort of set Solomon up for failure, really, because he just assumed that I'm wonderful because my dad thinks I'm wonderful, rather than truly being spiritually minded. But he says, David says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all your fellows. If we love God, we will love righteousness. And we will hate sin. Even if we commit sin, we will hate it. This is what Paul says in Romans 7, where he says, I do what I hate, and I wish I didn't do it. So even though we sin, this is what we hate doing. And that's what's important, because unfortunately, we will never be perfect. Now, these words are quoted about Jesus. And God, even your God, that's the God of Jesus, anointed him with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. And you see how Jesus is not God himself, because it says God, even your God. Even though the term God can be used about Jesus and as it was about Moses, any exalted person. But the point is that God, the Father, is his God. He's greater than Jesus. All your garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces. King's daughters are among your honourable women. Upon your right hand stood the queen in gold of Ophir. Well, gold of Sheba is how some Bibles put it. And you wonder whether this girl that he marries, that Solomon marries, is in fact the daughter of the Queen of Sheba, but we don't know that. Well, this girl, whoever she is not an Israelite. Listen, O daughter, because she's a daughter of foreign kings, of a foreign king. Listen, O daughter, and consider. Forget your own people and your father's family. So shall the king greatly desire your beauty. For he is your lord, and you are to worship him. So when a woman gets married, she leaves father and mother. She leaves, in this case, her own people, who would have been idolaters. And I think this is David talking to her, like the father of the man getting married, giving a talk, as it were, at the wedding. And he says, listen, my daughter, he wants to take her into his family, considers her as his daughter-in-law, as we would say. And he says, you've got to forget your people and your father's family, as they worship idols. And if you do that, that is, if you're committed to the God of Israel, that's why the king will greatly desire your beauty. So a true man, a true believing man, will be attracted to a woman because of her commitment to the God of Israel. He goes on, and the daughter of Tyre will be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people will entreat your favour. The king's daughter is all glorious within or inside. So it's what's on the inside of a person, which is what should attract you to marry them. If you just look at whether someone's handsome, whether they're beautiful or whatever, well, that all fades, and your perception of them fades and changes anyway. It is only what is inside a person which will be truly attractive to the spiritual person. She shall be brought to the king, I guess Solomon, in clothing of needlework. The young women, her companions that follow her, will be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they'll be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. In place of your fathers will be your children, whom you will make princes in the land. So again, David is saying, look, you've got to forget your fathers. They're idolaters, your ancestors. Instead, focus on having children with Solomon, and they will be the kings and the princes in this new kingdom of Israel. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations, therefore shall the people praise you forever. Well, you can understand that this was David's desire for Solomon, and you see it again in Psalm 72, but it's one thing to wish all these things, to imagine all these things about your son and daughter-in-law, but the reality with Solomon was different. He married these Gentile women, they kept worshipping their idols, and we're told in the first book of Kings that when he was older, his wives turned away his heart from God to their idols, and he built temples for their idols on the hills all around Jerusalem. This is so sad. Poor David, dear David, in a way, he had these great desires for Solomon, and he likes to imagine that this is how it is. But in the end, all parents can do is to put their children as far as they can on the track, the right path, but children have got to grow up and become independent and serve God from their own personal desire, not just because that's what Dad wanted. And I think that this is a problem with Solomon, that David had all these hopes for Solomon, but Solomon, after David had died and Solomon had got older and established himself in life, his heart wasn't in it. And he is the most tragic example of a man who was given everything, really, by his father, who fell away.